because it's Sunday. Amen. I'm glad you're here. The Lord gave me this message about 3 weeks ago, and I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to slide this in? And he said, today's the day. I want you to do this message. And if I had to use one word to describe my message, it's called help. I believe this message will help everybody where you are today and maybe where you might be someday. So this is a good message to help everybody out. It is not a shouter, glory be, hallelujah, Pastor D, preach it. It's probably not one of those today, though if you want to stand up and do that, it'll be good. And you know what? Just because you're not shouting doesn't mean the word of God's not penetrating your heart and causing change, though it does make me feel good sometimes, okay? So if you'd open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, we're going to start. Luke chapter 24. Praise God. Say amen when you find Luke chapter 24. Some of them are getting there. And we're starting in verse 36. I think I'm there. Amen. I found it. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. 24:36. Amen. I got another one. Anybody? Okay. I know. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. He said, "Peace be with you." We're picking up the story where Jesus has already died and risen. He's walking around the earth. A few of his disciples have seen him. Not all of them have seen him. Matter of fact, some of them are still kind of questioning if this really was what happened. He really did rise from the dead. So there's this bunch of disciples. And they're all gathered together and they're kind of talking about this. And suddenly, Jesus shows up. I used to love to tell my kids, listen, you better watch what you're saying because suddenly Jesus could show up. Well, this time it happened. Suddenly, Jesus showed up. So let's pick up the next verse. But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus said, "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Can you see that it's really me? Touch and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. Now, would you flip over to Psalm 147? 147. It's about the end of Psalms. Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147, verse 3. This is a really important scripture to me. It has brought wonderful healing in my life many different times. So here it says, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. So this morning, my title of my message is Beautiful Scars. Now, if you want to talk about wounds, beautiful wounds, no, we're going to talk about beautiful scars. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a Father that loves so big. We welcome you. We invite your presence here. We ask that you would open our eyes, open our understanding, and give us the truth about your healing scars. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, raise your hand. How many of you have some scars on your body, or plural scars on your body? All right. Maybe if you're five and under, you don't. But most people have some scars on their body, right? Now, and how do you get those scars is because you've been through some things in life, right? So you may not know this. The reason why I wear bangs is because I have a scar here, some stitches. I was about first grade, and back in the day, we always wore dresses, and maybe it was a Sunday, but we wore the dresses that were like to here, and then they stuck out, and we wore petticoats. Now you know how old I am, right? So I walked up the street to Nancy's house, And we were going to see whose dress could stick out the farthest. And I lost my balance. No kidding. Whoa. Don't do that. And I hit the radiator. And Nancy's mom scooped me up because we didn't have cell phones back then. And most people only had one car. And Nancy's dad had taken the car to work. All right, so Mrs. Walther scoops me up and carries me 7 houses down, knocks on my door, and tosses me to my mom. Okay, who proceeds me to take me to Holy Name Hospital, which I think my mom was on first name basis. Hi, Barbara. Welcome back when you have 6 kids, you know. And I got stitches here, okay? So I had a wound, and now I have a scar. Now, Pastor Sherry, one time, that was like the final time we ever did this. We went to one of those creation festivals, Jesus festivals. Sherry's probably about 10, so all my kids are 2 years younger. And it is stinking hot. And there are 40,000 people at this festival. And they all think it's cool to have a campfire in July. Every night. It was like, what are you nuts? And I don't like heat because I'm ready to say put the AC back on here again. Okay, but I'm going to do this. So we find a creek. Forget the festival. We find some creek on the property, and all my kids have got their bathing suits on. I'm sitting on the edge, and they're jumping in the water along with those Faircloth boys. They always get in trouble. And next thing I hear is a scream, and I see Sherry stand up. You know, and she had these little skinny legs, and there's blood gushing down her leg. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know why I said, oh, my gosh? Because to get into creation, you waited online for 2 hours at least. I'm not kidding, right? Maybe 3, just to get into the festival. So I'm looking at my kid with so much love, right? And I'm going, oh, no, we're not doing that. Uh-uh. Jack, get the first aid kit. So how many of you know what a butterfly bandage is? Okay, so we didn't have one, but you can make them. So I said, come here, dry her off. Let's just stick this butterfly bandage. And, you know, we dry the tears, give her a lollipop, and said, you'll be fine. Well, today, Sherry has a scar right around her knee from a wound she got because her mother wasn't going to leave that place. I said, I am not leaving, all right? Now, probably we could go around and I could ask all of you your hysterical crazy stories about the wounds and the scars that you have, right? Some of you probably have a doozy, right? And some of your parents probably don't even know the truth how you got it, right? Yeah. So I could probably say that most everybody has a scar on their body from a wound they got, right? Yes, that's right. Now, I also would venture to say that many of us here have actually scars on the inside. You know, scars on the inside. Hurts and wounds on the inside from things that have happened in life. Anybody have any of those? Yep. And listen, I don't know what your scars on the inside are from. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you were, and you have a scar from that. Maybe you've been abused or deserted and you carry a scar from that. You know, that happens, all right? But it's interesting. I believe that all of those things are very significant. If you were to sit down and tell me, you would say, Pastor D, sit down right here, and I'm going to tell you something. It's very significant. It's actually a story. So those wounds and those scars tell stories, whether they're inside or outside, don't they? This is, and I told you, it wasn't a shouting one of these kind of things here. But now, one thing interesting. Turn back to Luke chapter 24, and I want to show you this again, now that we've said that. Verse 39, Luke 24, and I'm going to pick up at 39. I'm going to read this. Jesus said, look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. As I was reading that this last couple weeks, it jumped out at me. Jesus has scars. Right? He has scars. He has scars. Jesus has scars. What? Yeah, the Bible tells us the Bible tells you, he died for me to pay my debt. They hung him on a cross and he went to hell and he rose again, right? We know that. And Bible scholars say, if you were there that day that he was hanging on a cross, you would not have recognized him as a human being because his flesh was just torn to pieces. Okay? So torn to pieces flesh. And yet, Jesus says here, look at my scars. Look at my scars. But wait a minute. When he rose from the dead, it never says in any of the accounts, look at the blood. Look at my mangled, torn up, bloody body, does it? Does anybody know any scriptures? It doesn't. This is the only time it says, look at my scars. Look at my scars. So Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, look at the scars in my hands. Look at the scars in my feet. Okay? Now, I'm going, well, why did he keep his scars? He obviously was healed when he came, rose from the dead, right? He obviously was healed because it doesn't say, oh, he's got bloodied all up. He obviously was healed. He's obviously, from reading the scriptures, his body's made whole. But it says here that he had scars. So why did he keep the scars? Why didn't he go heal the rest of that? Well, okay, this is an I believe. I believe those scars are beautiful scars, and I believe those scars actually tell a story to help us. I believe that. So I'm going to explain my case and get you down to the end where you go, yes, Pastor D. All right. So I believe those scars were to tell a story. And just as, you know, we said, if you could probably tell me why I wear bangs and I have a scar here, it tells a story. We have natural stories that we tell about our scars, right? We have natural stories. I believe that the scars that Jesus had, okay, tell a story of redemption, tell a story of the atonement, tells a story about forgiveness, it tells a story about healing. So I believe that was why that's written in the scriptures, to tell a story for us. Now, Jesus is always called our great example, right? He's always the big example. Listen, if Jesus did it, I can do it. If Jesus has done that, then I'm going to be able to do that. So I believe there's power in the story of his scars. I believe there's really power in the story of his scars. Now, one of the reasons... I think that there's power in the story is, one, I believe that those scars that he had, they're not ugly things. They're not ugly things. They're not things that he's ashamed of, because they tell a story, don't they? They tell a story. So I'm going to give you 2 points, and the first part is, how can God use my scars? How? So if you're taking notes, because you are all beautiful people and smarter than a fifth grader, how can God use my scars? Now, before we get there, it's really important that we understand, before God can use our scars for his glory, just like Jesus' scars tell a story about the glory of God and the power of God and the resurrection and the redemption, okay? Before God can use our scars for his glory, they have to be scars. They have to be just that. They have to be scars. And but it's really interesting. Many people think they have scars, but really they don't. They actually are carrying wounds. Have you ever run into somebody who's just wounded? Yeah. So some people think, oh, I have scars, and you know, no, they have wounds. So we've got to figure out what to do with these wounds. So now, the only problem, there's a lot of problems. One of the problems of having a wound, let's say you tripped over something and you fell and you got a big gash in your leg. What's the first thing you do? You're going to run and clean it and attend to it and put bandages on it, and you're going to take care of it. You're going to take care of it. You're going to take care of it. But all of a sudden I look over there and so-and-so tripped and they fell and they're hurt. But I'm over here. I'm attending to my wound. I'm attending to my wound. I'm attending to my wound. But over here, they got hurt. So I thought, well, I'll just chuck them my cell phone and say, hey, just call 911 because I can't help you. Because I am invested in attending to my wound. Therefore, I can't help other people. So is it a good thing to have wounds? No. Because all you're doing is you. That's not where, and then you're not really doing the things and helping the people that God sets before you. So are wounds a good thing? No, they need to become scars. Okay? So wounds need to become scars. And if we want to get to a place where I can run over there and help that person, okay, and I can have a story to tell them because my wound is now a scar, I'm going to have to make sure the wound becomes a scar. Otherwise, all I'm doing is me. All I'm doing is me. And I know a lot of people that just do me, okay? All right? And then, you know, it's almost like you get stuck. You are stuck in this place, and God has great places for you to go to. God has tons of people. He needs you to have a story about your scar, okay? But you're stuck with a wound. So it's really important you know how to have this wound be healed so it can be a story, all right? Amen? Now, number one, how can you allow your wounds to become a scar? How can you allow your wounds to become a scar? Number one, now I'm probably going to tell the most grossest stories today. Okay, so number one, ready? Stop picking the wound. Everybody say stop picking the wound. All right. Do you all know a picker? Especially kids, okay? We'll just pick on kids. We won't say. And they're picking at a mosquito bite. They keep, and then it starts bleeding. Or else they got this scab on their knee. And they're like, I'll just pick a little it, you know? And it'll fall off. And they pick, 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 pick. And then it just rips it off and it starts bleeding. Those are pickers. Everybody say pickers. Yeah, all right. Now, just as a picker can be in the natural where they're picking a scab, you can be a picker on the inside of your heart. You can be a picker on the inside of your heart, all right? Now, how do you do that? You keep thinking about a wound. You keep thinking about so-and-so hurt you. You keep thinking about how someone just did you dirty, abandoned you, abused, all that. You keep thinking and thinking and thinking on that, which really means you're picking, you're picking, you're picking, you're picking, you're picking. And you're a picker. You're a picker. And the wound can't heal. The wound can't heal. All right? So we want our wounds to heal. So stop picking. All right. Stop picking your wounds. Now, how do you do that? Oh, God is so good. Well, we're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to apply the Word of God. Now, it's so interesting. A lot of times people subconsciously, I hate to use that word because somebody goes, but I'm going to say, they subconsciously just are picking. You know, especially mosquito bites. They're not even paying attention. They just do it. Right? So it's sort of like when you sit your kids down. I remember this. I'm going to sit them down to watch Veggie Tales, all right? And they are soaking in Veggie Tales, but they got mosquito bites. But they're just mesmerized. They have not taken their eyes off the Veggie Tale movie, but they're doing this, picking, 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 blood, 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 blood. Now, they're not consciously doing that. They're just picking. Till mama says, stop that. Stop picking. You're going to get an infection. Then you're going to have to go to the hospital and they're going to give you a shot and then you're going to get stitches. Yeah, right, Mom. Okay. Things we tell our kids, right? So, but listen, they have done this picking, picking, picking so many times. They're not aware. They're picking, 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 picking. Now, make that a wound from a hurt, from an abuse. From maybe you were divorced and it hurt, okay? And you just keep thinking that and thinking that and thinking that and thinking that and thinking that. And you are really become a picker, picker, picker. And that wound just does not heal, does it? Nope. So turn over to Romans 8, would y'all? Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8, Say amen, Pastor D. I know where Romans are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. All right. If we keep thinking and thinking and thinking about all the things you've gone through life that caused the wound, you're going to have your wound is not going to heal. If you keep thinking about all the things that have happened that hurt you, I mean, I'm not denying they hurt. Okay. Maybe you lost somebody that was supposed to live long. That hurt. If you just keep thinking on that, it's not going to heal. And matter of fact, if you keep replaying it and replaying it and replaying it, I just talked to somebody, as a matter of fact, it was just the other day, and they're giving me their replay on this wound. And the wound happened 5 years ago, and it was like they pressed the replay button, and they just kept going over and over and telling me this wound. And I was like, ooh, he got a wound, because I was working on my sermon. And I thought, you need a scar so you can have a story and tell what Jesus did. But it was really hard to get them to see that. Okay, so Romans 8, I'm not there. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to read up here. Romans 8, 5, and 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set. Okay, underline that word set. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. So in other words, you have to choose what you're going to think on. You're either going to have your mind set on this negative stuff, or you're going to choose, okay, and this is, I was trying to get this lady to choose to get her mind that was set on telling me the hurt and telling me the hurt and telling me the hurt and picking and picking and picking. I was trying to tell her, you need to set your mind over here where life and peace is. You have to choose. It's not like my little kids when I'd make you do things. Go tell your brother you're sorry and give him a hug. Anybody ever make your kids do that? Oh, yeah. If not, they're going to get a paddling. Okay. So but I can't paddle you. You have to decide that you're going to choose to let the wound heal. And some people, oh my gosh. So you have to decide you're going to choose to let the wound heal rather than holding on to the negative thoughts. And listen, if you keep holding on to that wound, God can't give you a story that you can tell others with. Because nobody wants to jump in the poop pile with you in your wound. They are smarter than a fifth grader. They'll stand and listen, but they're not jumping in. All right? And God wants you to let go of this and decide to choose to think on better things. All right? So you have to start replacing the thoughts. And it's a conscious decision. It just doesn't swim through your brain. You have to decide to do that. All right? You have to make a conscious choice. Turn over to Philippians 4:8. Conscious choice. You have to make a conscious choice about the thoughts that come in your brain and come out. You have to make a choice, all right? Now, Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing. That sounds like me. One more thing as I close this letter. Fix or choose your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right. Think about things that are pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Okay, so you have to consciously decide to pick good thoughts, or otherwise you're going to keep picking that wound open, keep picking the wound open, and it's going to bleed. So everybody say, stop picking the wound. Okay, number two. Put ointment on the wound. Okay. Now, all right. So when you have a wound, the first thing you do is you wash it out. Oh, man, that stings like the Dickens, right? But you got to wash all the gravel out. Then the next thing we do is we run to the medicine cabinet and we put Neosporin on it. Okay. Back in the day, they put iodine on it. Oh, my gosh. That was horrible. So Neosporin, much better. So you put ointment on it. Why do you put ointment on it? Speed up the healing, right? So they say, speed up the healing. At least the makers of Neosporin does it, all right? So do you want to speed up the healing of the wound? Yes. Yeah. So you're going to put ointment on it. Okay, you're going to put ointment on it. Okay, what is the ointment? Oh, thank you. Turn over to Proverbs 4. You already know it. Turn over to Proverbs 4. What is the ointment that you put on the wound, on the hurts and the scars that you carry, all right? What is the ointment? Proverbs 4. My child, verse 20, Proverbs 4, 20. I'm going to read this out of the New Living just because I have a cool word at the bottom. My child, pay attention to what you say. Okay, man, it's that mouth. My child, pay attention to what you say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. The definition of that, or the translation of healing, is medicine. Medicine. So I'm going to read that last one again. It brings life to those who find them, and medicine to their whole body. So do you want to speed up the healing process of a wound that you've been carrying around for 20 years? Then you're going to have to put the ointment of God's word on you. All right. Now you have to say it every single day. It can't be, oh, Pastor D, that was a great message. Tonight I'm going to go home and I'm going to read one scripture and poof. No, you have to do it every single day. Just think about it. If you had a really bad gash in your arm and you got stitches, they'll send you home with ointment and they tell you change the bandage 2 times a day until it's healed. So that sounds like you have to do it a bunch. You have to do it a bunch. You have to do it a bunch. All right? You have to do it a bunch and a bunch, like every single day, a couple times a day, especially if it's one that it just grabs your gut and you just want to wail. God, it hurts. You're going to have to do it a couple of times every single day for every single day for every single day for every single day. Amen. Now, we read Psalm 147 before, and it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There have been times in my life where I have gone through horrific things, and I would say that scripture because there was a wound so deep, it hurt so much. I just wanted to crumble on the floor and just wail. Okay, and this is what I had to say, and it would hit me a couple of times a day, and in the beginning, and more, and then finally I would say it, my Jesus. Listen, Jesus came because he was concerned about your wounds, and it says he binds them up and heals the brokenhearted. Okay, so I would say it and say it, and then I realized I was saying it less, and then I realized a year went by. Yeah, somebody would say something, and I'm like, he binds a broken heart, heals wounds. And one day I realized I did not have a wound. I had a scar, and I had a story to tell. And that story, God, if God would allow me, would point to what God and his son Jesus did in my life. So it is extremely important that you are not carrying wounds. Amen? They're incapacitating, too. Now, again, it's an every single day. It's an every single day. Amen. Let's see what else. Now, question. How do you know when a wound is healed? How do you know? Sometimes you can't look, you can't always tell by looking at a person, but how do you know? Well, I know because when I think about that old thing that happened, the hurt, when I think about how somebody wounded me, abused me, when I think about that, I have no ill feelings. I don't want to rip their hair out and smash their face against the wall. That was ill feeling sounded so lovely. I wrote that, but really that's what, how I know. Okay. All right. I don't want to, when I see them, turn around and run the other way. Okay. I don't fear. Okay. Those are ways you know that it is then a scar. It's now a scar. Everybody say scar. love scars. Look at scars here, okay? And that's when a wound is a scar, and that's when God can allow you to tell the story about the scar. And that is when you are now able to help others. Amen. So is it worth hanging on to wounds? Oh, dear God, no. Dear God, no. Okay? Now, when a scar is, when a wound is healed and you can tell about it, it now becomes a beautiful scar. It's a beautiful scar because you tell about a beautiful Savior that hung on a cross, that had scars and died for you and paid a price and brings you into the heavenlies and gives you a new name and you're a new creature. That's a beautiful story. Okay? Now, sometimes Christians feel like, because they've endured so much with the wounds of life. And listen, I know some of you guys' stories, and I could cry with you the abuse that you've been through. The wounds that you've been inflicted on you that you had no choice. Somebody did it to you. People who you should have trusted did horrible things. No, I am not denying the wound that you carry. But if you let Jesus heal the wound, you will have a story. Okay. Now, those people a lot of times feel like the wound or the scar. By then it's a scar. They feel like they're ashamed. I don't want to tell anybody what happened in my life. You know, they may not like me. People are like in second grade again, all right? They're afraid they might get rejected, all right? They're afraid that I'm just too complicated. If you get around me, I'm really complicated. I got a lot of luggage and you probably don't want to be my friend, okay? If you have gone from a wound to a scar, that's just Satan trying to keep you separated from people that could rejoice about what Jesus did in your life. All right. Now, it doesn't mean you wear a big t-shirt and say, hey, I was abused. Okay. It's not your opening sentence. Hi, I was abused. My name is Dee. Don't start your sentence like that. Okay. I get around people like that and I'm like, just go slow. All right. Now, I will guarantee the person to the right of you and the left of you has been through some scars and some wounds. Some of them are in the process of that wound becoming healed. Some of those, the wounds are healed. But you are not the only Joe in the place. There are people sitting right next to you that have been through wounds that are now scars. So don't you ever be ashamed of the story that God gave you now to tell. Because as soon as you have a scar, you are able to tell a story that will help Michelle. As soon as you have a wound that you have asked Jesus to heal and it has become a scar, you now have a story to tell Tom that'll help him. All right? And you know, that is why, and it's most incredible, that is why they have support groups. Right? AA, you know why it's successful? Because I want to go. Because you're there, the leader, hopefully the leader, says, I've made it through this. I've come over the top of what you're going through. So you need a story. And then when you have a story, you should share the story as the Lord leads, because it gives hope to people who think this pain will never go away. It gives hope that if God would fix your life, dear Jesus, he'll fix mine. Okay? Your story gives hope that God cares and he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Amen? So, let's see. Praise God. How am I going to close on this one? I told you this wasn't a shouter, but this is one of those, you know, it's real interesting. I would love to say, hi, Dave, you got born again. Goody, goody, goody. No one's ever going to hurt you. Or better yet, you're not going to do something dumb and help hurt yourself. Okay. I'd love to tell you that that's how life goes when you meet Jesus and he makes you brand new. There's people that are going to do things to you and say things to you. And then sometimes we just do the dumb things to ourselves. Matt was saying how they did it to themselves and they're incarcerated. Okay. Some of them like that. But, But the beautiful thing is when life happens, just like in the natural, especially kids, oh my gosh, you know, they fall and they get cuts and this and that and broken that. It just happens, right? Sometimes it just happens, okay? Sometimes that just happens, even the wounds. They happen throughout life. But we don't have to carry them. And I've been around people, and I want to go, you've been carrying this for 10 years? And I want to shake them, but then I want to carry them and just, you know, apply this word to them. But you know what? You have to decide and choose. You're ready to let it go. I'm not sure if it's the Gospel of Luke. Jesus encounters a man at the Pool of Bethesda. You all know that story? He'd been there for 38 years. 38 years. He's lame. So that's a wound, right? So in a sense, it's actually wounds you, actually how you think emotionally too. Okay, so he's at the pool 38 years, and Jesus says, hey, do you want to get healed? And I wanted to go in my sassiness. What are you, nuts? Look at me. I've been here for 38 years. Why would you ask the dumber question? Jesus never asks dumb questions, okay? I do, and I say things, but okay. So why would he ask that? Because sometimes we get so used to the wound. It actually becomes a part of us. We're comfortable with that. We've had it happen sometimes, especially people that have had things happen as a child that just had happened, and they carry this wound. They can't imagine. Number one, they don't know they're carrying it. And number two, when you do tell them they're carrying it, they can't imagine they could let go. So here's my question today. Do you want to get healed? Do you want to get healed? All right. So I'm going to pray for people for today in a couple of moments. But the wounds that have become scars are really, the scar is not who you are. The scar and the wound don't define, this is Lucy Johnson. She's been through this, this, and this, and this is who she is because she went through this, this, and this. The only person who defines who you are is Jesus Christ. He says, I've made you righteous, I've made you holy, I've made you pure, I've made you forgiven and washed. You're a child, you're my favorites. The only person that defines you is Jesus. And you have to decide to say that when that wound just wants to just lie to you and to say, oh, no, Jesus has healed my broken heart. He's bound up my wounds. I am no longer a victim. All right. It's a choice you have to make. Okay. So if Jesus were to say, do you want me to heal you? You have to make a choice. And the choice is, one, you have to let go, because listen, and we always say he's a gentleman, and he does. You have to let go and let him in. And when he comes in, he does so good, better than Neosporin. He does so good, all right? All right, so with just eyes closed, just nobody looking around. Maybe you're here and you have just had a wonderful life and you don't have any wounds and scars, and I'm so jealous. No, I'm so glad for you. But if that's you, hang on to this message, because maybe you can minister it to somebody else. But I want to talk to people right now. If you're here and there are wounds that you still carry, you know, when you mention somebody's name, that hurt just gets really big. Or anger. I'm ready to smash their head against the wall, rip their hair out. You know, all that, all right? If there's a name, you know, when you say that, and I'm like, it's time to get rid of that wound. If you're there, if you're that kind of person, you can just raise your hand to the Lord, not to me, that I need to see it, and say, Lord, today I choose to let that go. Today I choose not to pick, not to tell it that over and over, and I choose to apply your word. I choose to do that and believe that you are the healer of the brokenhearted and the mender of wounds. Today, I choose healing. All right? So, Heavenly Father, you know hearts, and you saw people's desires. And I thank you that you just lavish them with your love. You surround them with your comfort. Your word would be so bright that it would be a reminder of how much you love, what your son has done, and how they can embrace a scar and have a story to tell to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say one more thing. Now,